Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in today on our next study of devils and unclean spirits in the letter 4C. This is the fourth study in the ABCs of Christian Growth, the letter D, and the fourth study in the letter D. Hope that doesn't confuse anybody out there. It took me a long time to make that up. But anyway, that was just a joke. But thank you for coming and joining today, and that we can study together and see what God's Word says about this matter of devils and unclean spirits. We don't take it for granted. We study together, and we mean business, and we're very serious about learning the Word of God. And we don't mind having some humor sometime, but we're here to find out what the Word of God says about things and what the right doctrine is, what Bible doctrine is, what is and what is not, what to believe and what not to believe. There's lots of things out there to choose from to believe in, and most of them are wrong. Most of them are wrong. If it's not in the Scriptures, then it's not truth. And most of them are the wide path. The Lord said, wide is the path that leadeth to destruction. And the majority of people, if they didn't, if they haven't already denied the Lord Jesus Christ, or have, or don't want anything to do with Him, or devil worshiping, or whatever they're doing, they're on the path that's leading to destruction. That's what the Scriptures say. Now, recapping just a little bit, we talked about Bible truths concerning devils and unclean spirits on our last lesson, if you remember that. The topics that we talked about was that devils and unclean spirits have their own false religions. Remember that? That they seduce and they teach doctrine to as many as they can. And that is just what we was just now talking about. There's all kinds of things to get involved in, and people go from one thing to the other. Now, if something is the truth, and you're worshiping the right God, and you're worshiping goodness, and you got a God that's backing you up, and He's got the power to back you up, and says He'll back you up, why would you think about going from religion to religion to religion to religion to religion? That's not much of a God that makes you have to hunt another God. If your God ain't big enough to keep you forever and to help you out in this life and give you something to look for in the next life, then you ain't got much of a God. And the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of men that claim that God backed them up, but they got no proof and they got no power and they got no evidence, and they sure don't have it written in the way that our Bible is written. Our Bible is written over a period of about 1,400 years and about 40-plus different authors that lived separately in separate times and separate eras that didn't have any idea what the other one was going to say. And they all joined together perfectly and just blend and mend and mesh together just as perfect as it can be. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Word of God is in its complete form in this age, in this dispensation that we live in. And you have, if you have the Old and New Testament, then you have the complete written Word of God in written form. Jesus was the living Word of God. He was the living Word of God, and we have the written Word of God. And devils and unclean spirits, they make up their own false religions. They're behind all the religions that are lying to people and telling people false things. And I was just reading some literature and studying. I've been reading recently Richard Wurmbrand's book of Tortured for Christ. You ought to read that sometime. Tells about his life of living about two different cases where he was in a Russian prison in Russia and was arrested for his faith. He was a preacher over there in an underground church trying to win people to the Lord. And he was arrested two separate times for a period of 14 years and told how they beat him and how they treated Christians in a communist society. Well, guess what? America's going to be having that pretty soon. It ain't going to be long. They're going to be beaten. They're going to be, they talking about all this peace and all this, there is no peace without Jesus Christ here physically. There is no peace. Peace, peace, and there is no peace. But there's going to be a time coming, and it's coming, that that it's going to please people to persecute Christians. This nation has thrown God behind its back, turned the shoulder to God, and turned the heel up to God. And the Lord has taken his hand off of this nation, and you can see it happening, man. God's not doing this to this nation. He just took his hands off of protecting it. This nation's doing it to itself. You see all these other nations moving in, and they're going to come in here, and they're going to control it, and you're going to serve in this country. You're going to serve the enemy. That's what the Lord has done in the Old Testament over and over and over again, when them Jews would get out of fellowship with him and start worshiping false gods and doing wicked things and stuff like that. He would bring wicked people in. He'd bring them in, and they'd take over, and they would rule the Jews. And he's done that many and many and many times, and he used all them judges to go in there and rescue them when they repented. But America's right on the verge of going into servitude to another people. And if you don't think so, you just wait around long enough. But Christians in particular, and that's what this study is all about, is us, Christians, and God's Word, and how it applies to what we believe. And why we believe what we believe. But according to this, according to what we see, the signs of the times, you can see this happening. When I was a little boy in the 60s and the 70s and stuff like that, the environment was not at all oppressive. You could walk around and have joy in your heart all day long and not run across one negative thing all day long. And you could go to bed at night without having any kind of oppression on you. Man, that is not the way it is now, is it? You wake up oppressed with a thumb on your head, and you go to bed with a thumb on your head. And you can feel it. It's oppression. And that's the devil's and unclean spirit's been turned loose here in this country. Anything goes, and boy, they're sure making it happen, ain't they? But not us. Not us. We're going all the way to the end for the Lord. Amen? Because it's right. And how else would you do? We're not going to treat the Lord Jesus Christ any different because the world's changing. We're going to serve him. And we're going to love him, and we're going to love him genuinely and love him sincerely from our hearts. Amen? All right, we're talking about these Bible truths concerning devils and unclean spirits. They have false religions. They're all over the place. Be careful. The Lord warns us. Paul warns us. Everybody warns us. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all of them warns us. Revelation warns us. Watch out. Take heed. Mark them, the Bible says. If it's a false religion, it'll carry you away from the book, and it'll carry you away from your God. Watch them. Devils have an affinity for wet places, especially hot, wet places. All right? We studied that. We talked about devils and unclean spirits prefer a man's body as his house, or refer to a man's body as his house. Remember that scripture that we read? And that one said that he departed, and the man cleaned up and everything else, and he said, I'll return to my house. And he took seven other devils along with him, wickeder than what he was. Devils and unclean spirits have an affinity for heights. We've seen that, the high places and up in the mountains and things like that. That doesn't mean that all of them are like that, but they have. That's the rule. That's what we see in the scriptures that happens. We talked about devils and unclean spirits. They have an affinity for dead bodies. They like being in dead bodies and around dead bodies. And you'll notice that people that are against God, and I'm not saying all of them, but people that are against God and Satan worshipers and dope heads, and like I used to be. When I was doping a long, long time ago before the Lord saved me out of that, I used to go to the graveyard and hang out. and can't tell you one reason why, except that death became more, how you want to put it, death became more attractive. Yeah, that's not normal. It's not normal. A human being starting to be attractive to people other than what we're talking about in the scriptures. Now, death is attractive to us, but we're not going to kill ourselves. We're going to wait on the Lord. And if the Lord happens to want to take us home in the next 5 minutes, we're not against it. Go ahead, Lord, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But not like a wicked way of attraction of death. That's completely different. With devils and unclean spirits, things are always religious. They ain't got anything against religion, devils and unclean spirits. They don't have anything against religion. Religion is that's their thing. They like religion. They deceive many, 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 many people with religion. Yes, they do. Devils and unclean spirits can exhibit unusual strength and does not yield to love or persuasion. You cannot, that's why in all these false religions, all you hear is love, 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 love. And people think that they can control unclean spirits and control them. They might get requests from human beings they want to sick some devils and order some devils to do something, but the devils are playing them for the fools. They think they're controlling the devils, but you can't control devils and unclean spirits. How can you do that? Human beings not got power over unclean spirits and devils. Never. They might have favor with them because they obey them and do what the devils persuade them to do all the time, and they're easy. And it seems like they're getting their way commanding devils around, and they're living and getting more evil and more wicked and bringing more wicked, and they're getting a lot of likes. Like you do on the computer. They're getting a lot of people following them, and the devil don't have to do all that much. He just keeps that one going. See how that is? But they can exhibit unusual strength and does not yield to love or persuasion. Man, there's some people out there, and the rule is that a human being is limited in his strength. Now, there's people out there go to the gym all the time and all this, that, and the other. Bottom line is, if you don't continue going to the gym, only thing that does is lengthen the time that your body has strength in it. It doesn't matter when you get 60, 70, 80 years old, the muscles are going to start wearing out just like God said, and you're going to the dirt just like everybody else is, going back to the dust, no matter how strong you are. But your strength is going to fail you, and the Lord said for us not to trust in strength, in the arm of strength, in the arm of being strong. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Today we're going to go into the matter of practices of devils and unclean spirits and see what the Lord says about that. The first thing is, devils and unclean spirits are involved in the practices of divination and soothsaying. We see that them words said in the scriptures and used in God's word exactly as we spoke them. Divination is like the ability with the aid of devils to foresee and tell the future. To foresee and tell the future. To divine is divination. That's what it's called, divining. I might not hit this nail on the head according to the ones that use this kind of stuff and are persuaded by devils to be part of this kind of thing. The Lord tells us not to fool around with the dead and not to fool around with devils and unclean spirits, not to mess with them. Get away from them. Turn from them. Pass by them. Turn away. and to resist them. The Lord does never tell us to hold conversations with them, to have anything to do with Ouija boards or anything having to do with death and the spirit world other than God the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit of Christ. Divination is the ability, and with the aid of devils, to foresee and tell the future, to divine. It is discovering things secret or obscure with the aids of devils. And there's a lot of people that do that. You can get on some of these conversation, and I'm not a conversation person on the computer at all, but I've been on a few of them just trying to get the gospel out to them, and I'd go and come and go and come, but to be on one of them consistently and all the time, I can't do that. But it's just too much wickedness on them, and too many temptations and things like that. You got to be very careful, very careful. And there's all kinds of devils and unclean spirits that are persuading people and things like that, that have brought about things that were never before because of seeing. Mine eye affecteth my heart. And seeing and hearing, just like Lot, seeing and hearing vexed your righteous soul. And it can happen. But discovering things secret and obscure with the aid of devils. And this practice strictly not tolerated in the Old Testament with the penalty of death. With the penalty of death. Leviticus, listen to this. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 27 says, "A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." It didn't say anything about being anything else than messing around with familiar spirits or wizards. Or has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard. Yeah. He said, stone them. That's what God thinks of it. Messing around with unclean spirits and devils and trying to have more control and advantage through the use of devils and unclean spirits and bowing down to them. The Lord said, forget it. Don't do it. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, we read that. Now, Acts chapter 16, verse 16 says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Remember, we talked about that devils and unclean spirits. That's what we're talking about right now, that they are involved in practices of divination. Being able to tell the foresee and tell the future, the ability to do that through devils and soothsaying. She was walking around behind Paul and his company and saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God," and she was telling the truth. But she didn't know what was going on about that, because the devils that she was messing with and she was possessed with, and they knew who Paul was. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Remember that? Acts chapter 16, verse 16. That's not all. Devils and unclean spirits not only are involved in the practices of divination and soothsaying, they're also involved in the practice of necromancy. I didn't say that. Necromancy. I think I said it right. If I didn't, forgive me for that. But necromancy is the practice of revealing future events by means of attempting to communicate with the dead. And not only does the Lord tell us not to be messing around with wizardry and familiar spirits and things like that, but he tells us not to be messing around with the dead. And you'll notice that on the wicked side of things and devil worship, unclean spirits and witchcraft and wizardry and things like that, one of the things that is involved in that environment is death. They raise death up on the scale of importance. Death is magnified all over the place in that world, in that environment. Devils and unclean spirits are involved in the practice of necromancy. It's a practice of revealing future events and attempting to communicate with the dead. The Ouija board, being there with a fortune, the crystal ball and the fortune tellers, and the one that Saul went to see that was a witch. And he's the one that made the rules that we're going to kill every witch that we suffer not a witch to live. And she was scared to death when she found out that was Saul there, but Saul cut her a break because he was trying to save his own hide. Devils and unclean spirits often can be found in this practice of necromancy, like enchantment, conjuring up devils and unclean spirits, conjuration. This practice of devil worship is sin in God's sight, and he doesn't tolerate it, and he tells us so. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, it says, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits," in other words, instead of coming to God and talking to him about things and talking things over with him, you go to familiar spirits, or them that mess around with familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them instead of talking it over with the Lord and trying to get things situated and fixed with him, he said, "I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." He'll kill you. That's what cutting him off means in the scripture. You cut him off. You're out of there, buddy. You're overdone. Done. God said he'd kill you for it. If you go a-whoring after people that mess around with familiar spirits and wizards and things of that nature. Now, we see an example of that with King Saul, just like I got through saying a minute ago, and the woman of Endor that spoke with the dead. And isn't it peculiar that that one of the movies that they brought up, they got right out of the scriptures. Witches of Endor, remember that? I never seen that, but that was one I think Cher, a popular singer, female. I think she was in there as one of the witches. But the Witches of Endor, but this, they got that out of the Bible. Yeah, they did. That wasn't no accident. And so we see that King Saul and the woman of Endor that spoke with the dead. God said, "Don't do it." And Samuel reprimanded him for calling him up, for having her call him up. And he reprimanded Saul, and Saul got his death warrant read to him when he did it. Listen to this, 1 Samuel chapter 28. The Bible says, "And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest that Saul," now this is Saul, he dressed up and hiding himself, and he goes into this woman trying to find something out. And he knows she's a witch, and she ain't told him that yet. But she says, "Behold, thou knowest that Saul hath done how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." I mean, he cleaned it up, man. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." He changed his mind when it had to do with him. He needed to find out something, you know. Then said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up to thee?" You think, is it possible that a human being can bring somebody up from the dead? Is that possible? I mean, really, really? No, it is not. What she's talking about is messing around with familiar spirits and unclean spirits and them having the power to do these things. "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid. For what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he, what was gods, little g, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. What was that? Devils and unclean spirits. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Now, where was Samuel? He was in paradise. He was down in the earth in paradise at that time before Jesus was crucified and made the blood payment for the New Testament to where everybody could actually go to heaven. That's where all the prophets and the Christian prophets and the godly people, the righteous people went. And it was right across a gulf from hell. And it's not there now. It's up in heaven. When the Lord died, he went down there and got them and took them to heaven. And that's where everybody goes now when they leave the body, if they are saved. Now, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, thou that makest known unto me what I shall do. And then we know that Samuel went into talking to him and said, well, buddy boy, don't be thinking about doing anything tomorrow, because tomorrow you're going to be down here with me. You're going to be down here with me. Now, I don't know if that meant heaven or hell, but both of them was down there at that time. And there's some people think that Saul went to hell, and some people think that Saul went to paradise. The Old Testament salvation was different than the salvation we have now. It wasn't like being saved and for eternity right now, right here, right now, and it not being able to be broken or taken away. It wasn't like that. The righteous and the unrighteous could, in the Old Testament, could lose their salvation. And if they, whatever they died, whatever condition they died in, was how it was settled. Okay, so we see there that devils and unclean spirits are involved in the practice of necromancy, speaking to the dead and trying to bring the dead up and things of that nature. What else? Well, devils and unclean spirits are involved in prognostication. Prognostication. Now, all these things that we're talking about right here are kind of intermingled with each other. They're all having to do with devils and unclean spirits, but they're just a little different. Prognostication is a form of devil worship to foreshow or indicate a future event by present signs, like having things right here to show, like the Jews used to say, the Jews require a sign. If you want to tell me something about God, then show me something that proves God's involved in it. And the Jews require a sign, but we're not talking about good signs, we're talking about devilish signs, talking about things like that, future events by present signs. Like, for instance, prognostication includes divination, just like we talked about. It includes idols. It includes the inspection of innards of animals. You ever heard of that? Yeah. And it's carried out in modern times by such things as palmistry, reading palms, and the reading of head lumps. That sounds ridiculous to me, but it might be serious to somebody else, but it sounds like foolishness to me, reading somebody's head lumps. I mean, what about a tall guy? Is that give him a worse condition than anybody else walking into things all the time? I don't know. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10 through 14. Listen to this. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, messing around with drugs. Wherefore thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. God's challenging these people. He's saying, show me what you got. He says, as evil is coming, he said, this is why all these things are coming upon you, because you're messing around with these things. Enchantments and sorceries and these things you've been doing since your youth. He said, show me some. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. The Lord mocks these things. He hates them. He calls them wickedness. That's how it started out. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. He calls this stuff wickedness. And he tells us to leave it alone, get away from it, and don't mess with it. Don't mess around with devils and unclean spirits. Don't talk to them. Don't get around people that talk to them. Stay away. Get around God's people. And get around people that preach and teach the word of God to you. With a God that has the power and is of the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The devil can't say that because he's not. He's about death. Devils and unclean spirits are involved in prognostication, which, like we said, includes divination and idols and inspection of innards of animals. And there's probably a whole conglomeration of things that go along with that. I mean, just reading palms and reading people's head lumps and stuff like that. I hadn't heard about that one lately. But I'm keeping my lumps to myself, ain't you? What else? Well, there's several other things here we're going to finish up and talk about today about the practices of devils and unclean spirits. Not only do they practice divination and soothsaying, and they practice necromancy, and they're involved with that, and they're involved with prognostication, but they're involved with magic. Magic. Now, there's a lot of conversation, a lot of people that talk about magic. Oh, that's magic, man. Magic, 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 magic. What are they trying to say when they say magic? Well, what is magic? Well, magic is magic something that a human being is able to do? What's the rule? The rule is that a human being cannot produce magical things, bringing something out of nothing. Magic, or doing something that's above his ability, that's super. Is magic natural or supernatural? Well, it's supernatural, because human beings ain't able to do that. Not without the help of a superpower, or somebody that has the powers to do them things. Human beings do not have the power to do them. And the way the world is now, aren't you glad? Magic entails a mixture of science, astronomy, astrology, and the works of the devil. It's all in there. And as important as science is getting now, and how stupid science is, have you seen some of the things that scientists, they say, well, scientists tell us. That's a big expression that the news media and everybody else is you. Well, scientists have said, well, scientists say, man, they say some of the stupidest things that you could ever hear. Have you ever listened to them? Some of the things that they say scientists have said now, and scientists have said, and well, scientists have determined that the thing that they said before was not quite accurate, but this is accurate. I read one time that the scientists, and it's not a joke, I can prove this. I read one time, and I was coming across it, and I broke out laughing out loud. They put it in a local newspaper that scientists have figured out that dogs have figured out and studying how come dogs' noses are warm and cold. Yeah. I didn't know that was a scientific thing to have to study and spend millions of dollars on. How come dogs' noses, they figured it out, how come dogs' noses are cold and then hot. Now, you needed to know that, didn't you? That's something that's scientific that you really need to know. And they can prove it. That's ignorant, is what that is. And it's foolishness. And who would drive a scientist to a bunch of foolishness like that? Now, there are some good scientists. I'm not saying that that all scientists are like that, because they're not. There's some good scientists. I know a few of them. And they are some smart fellows. But science, whenever it is revealed in the truth, it makes things simple. It casts simplicity into the thoughts. In other words, when you hear real science, it gives you peace and clarity and simplicity. When you hear foolish so-called science, like Paul said, science so-called, then it complicates things and confuses things and makes you laugh. I mean, if you're a Christian, you laugh at it because it's so stupid. We're talking about magic. Magic entails a mixture of science and astronomy. The Lord warns us about worshiping stars and worshiping astronomy and astrology and the works of the devil. And much of this is we can find recorded in the books of Exodus and Daniel. It talks about it quite a bit. And it's practiced today in the form of hypnotism and mind cures. You got lots and lots of psychic stuff, jobs, and now psychiatrists, and there's a lot of good ones of them too. I'm not talking about all of them, but there's a lot of them that are just as kooky as the ones they're sitting in front of. It's practiced today in the form of hypnotism, mind cures, fortune telling, and various other things. Devils and unclean spirits deceive many people in assisting them to think they have powers that they do not have. And those that welcome and entertain devil's powers into their lives. And that's in a wrong kind of way, in an evil kind of way, in a wicked kind of way. That's what they do. They convince people to invite devils into their lives. And human beings can't do these things. But if they invite these devils and they start worshiping, like God said, in a wicked way and start messing around with sorceries and messing around with enchantments and messing around with all this perverted stuff, then they invite devils. They give devils and unclean spirits permission to come into their lives because they invite them. Not saying, come to me, devil, but messing around with an idol that a devil's behind. You see. What else? Well, in Daniel chapter 2. Let's read Exodus first. Exodus chapter 7, verse 10 through 12. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they said so as the... And they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now, we know that's supernatural, and that God was behind that. Aaron couldn't have changed that rod into a serpent by his power. He's human. But the Lord did, because he told Moses what to do, and Aaron obeyed. They did it, and the Lord turned it into a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Remember what the Lord just said in that other verse in Isaiah? For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Now, do you think just because they were magicians or that they were sorcerers or they belonged to Pharaoh and was under Pharaoh that they could do supernatural things also? Why, no, they could not. But they could cast them down, having messed with unclean spirits and devils, and the devils could do it. And they did. But the thing about it was that Aaron's rod swallowed up all their rods. Yeah. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 27, the Bible says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? They couldn't do it. And they couldn't tell the future. The king told them, he said, I had a dream. He said, and I want you to tell me what the dream, I want you to tell me the answer to the dream. He said, but before we get started, I want you to tell me what my dream was so I can be assured that you know what we're talking about when you get ready to answer it. And boy, that messed them up. They couldn't do that. Human beings, that's not the rule. Human beings cannot do them things. But with unclean spirits and devils, they can seem like they're doing with the assistance of devils and unclean spirits that are have plans for the ones that are messing around with them. They're going to kill them and send them to hell. Not only are they involved in magic, but devils and unclean spirits are involved in sorcery. Yes, they are. You better believe that. Dope making and drugs. I looked it up for myself, but I heard preachers before say that sorcery has to do, you know how the witch with the mole on her nose and ugly as can be and stand there by the big cauldron and stirring that big old mixture in there and trouble and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. That's exactly what we're talking about. Sorcery. Making all kinds of brews and all kinds of drugs and all kinds of things that change people and chemistry and formulas and things like that. Sorcery involves formulas and astronomy and chemistry and familiar spirits and especially the use of drugs. I know that personally. I used to use drugs. And you don't think there's devils involved in the drug world. Man, you hadn't been too close to it. Anybody will tell you that there's devils and unclean spirits in the drug world. Anywhere around chemistry. You know, in the book of Revelation, the word means to use of pharmaceuticals or pharmacies. They say that the word, and I don't use Greek and I don't use Hebrew, but they say that the word originally means pharmakia or something like that, pharmacy. Now we see these things read about in the books of Isaiah and Acts, among some other books. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 47. The Bible says, therefore hear now this, that thou art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, and sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries. and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Doping and playing around with magic and sorcery and enchantments. You're going to lose your kids and you're going to be a widow. Can anybody identify with that nowadays? Are you kidding? That is all over the place. I don't know how many, but I bet you out of 10 children, 8 of them come from a drug-infested background. With no mama, no daddy. And on and on and on it goes. God tells us the truth, folks. His word is true. And all this stuff that's in the world today didn't just pop up. It's been before, over and over and over and over. People repent, get right with God. The Lord makes things a little easier on everybody, and God's righteousness and His glory is trusted and giving Him glory and His word glory and respecting Him. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts fooling around with these things again, and down she goes. Acts chapter 8 and verse 7 through 11, listen to this. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before times in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to him they had regard. Because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Well, here you go. Just take this right here and, sorceries. And it said that there were unclean spirits crying aloud. With loud voice came out of many that were possessed with these different things that the devils and unclean spirits were causing in people, because this man was in that city telling everybody that he was supernatural and had the power of God in him using sorceries. And he was lying. So we see some practices of devils and unclean spirits, brothers and sisters, is divination and soothsaying, necromancy, prognostication, being involved in magic, and sorcery. And lastly, devils and unclean spirits are involved in witchcraft. Now, I read you a while ago what the Lord said about wizards and witches and things like that. But witchcraft is plainly part of the involvement and behavior of devils and unclean spirits. It's got to be. It is. It's right up their alley. It's condemned in the Holy Scriptures as essential devil worship and rebellion. Those are the identifiers of it. And they're proud of it. Devil worship and rebellion. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 through 21, listen to this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Here they are. They're laid out on the table. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Witchcraft. Purposely messing around and being involved with devils and unclean spirits. What else? Galatians chapter 5. And verse 19 through 21 says, well, I read that to you, didn't I? I sure did. How about 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 is what I meant. For rebellion, remember what it said? Rebellion, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The Lord says that rebellion and witchcraft kind of look the same. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is fully blown with rebellion. You want to know how somebody's probably involved in witchcraft? Because they're rebellious. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity, is as iniquity and idolatry. All these things kind of blend together. Rebellion, witchcraft, stubbornness, iniquity, and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he hath also rejected thee from being king. All having to do with devils and unclean spirits. It's not a light thing that the Lord commands us to stay away from these things and stay away from devils and unclean spirits. You don't have to fear them. You just submit yourself to the Lord, resist them, and they'll flee from you. That's what God says, and that's what they do. But when you start messing around or got things in your house or going places or keeping company with things having to do with this kind of stuff, divination, soothsaying, necromancy, talking to the dead and playing around with dead, prognostication and magic and sorcery and things like that, you're going to get some company that you ain't going to like because they got it out for you. Devils and unclean spirits do not mess around with Christians for just to be playing around. They have a plan for you, and it's like their father, the devil, that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He will take you out and kill you. He don't want to come over there and just make things uncomfortable and spend a lot of time with you. He wants to kill you and take you out. If you don't believe that, get in the book and find out. And witchcraft. Witchcraft. Okay? So we're going to stop right there. Good study. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? And I think we ended there. Yeah. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Here's the scriptures for today. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 9 through 15. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10 through 14. Exodus chapter 7, verse 10 through 12. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 47. Verse 8 and 9. Acts chapter 8, verse 7 through 11. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And the last one for today is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. And that's our study for today. If you're a born-again Christian, you got no business messing around with any of these things. If you have anything in your house or outside your house that has to do with any devils or unclean spirits that they could be behind and affect your life, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And you got movies in there that have to do with witchcraft and unclean spirits and things like that, and you bring them into your house, you invite real unclean spirits and devils into your house. Because God's not going to make them leave you alone if you're voluntarily messing around with the stuff. Get rid of it. We are to walk as light. The Bible says you're children of light. Walk as children of light. Okay? All is well. Praise the Lord. And that's what we want to do anyway, isn't it? I mean, we lived that kind of life before the Lord saved us and before the Lord started purging us and conforming us into the image of Jesus. We had these things in our life. And what'd they do to us? Made us miserable as we could be, didn't they? Yep. And the Lord run all them devils off and run all them unclean spirits off and cleaned you up and gave you a new life. And God the Holy Ghost living within you. You got no business be messing around with that stuff. It ain't changed a bit. We're on our way to be with the Lord. And we want righteousness and goodness. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Yeah. Up and down, right or left, black or white, in or out. On or off, polarities, separation, in spite of what the world says. Let's all get together. No such thing. People are different. Even the only thing that's the same is the body of Christ. There's not Jew or Gentile, bond or free. But all are the same in the body of Christ. In this dispensation, and that's wonderful. But we're all still different colors, different eye colors, different everything. The Lord brings beauty out of diversity in the body of Christ. Because we're all one in the body of Christ. Amen? Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, we're stopping right there. Next time we come together, we're going to talk about this. Recognizing devil possession and the influence of unclean spirits. And what does the Bible say? Recognizing it. Possession and influence of unclean spirits. We'll see what God says about that. And we'll believe it. And finishing up this study, we believe everything we have heard from the Word of God, and we don't argue with it. We accept it. And we believe it, and we put it into our lives and welcome it. Amen? All right. Well, the Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for serving the Lord. Bye-bye.